In the Middle Ages, from around 1340 to 1400, Europe experienced the deadliest disease outbreak in human history when the Black Death, the infamous pandemic of bubonic plague, hit in 1347, killing approximately 25 million people, which was about half the population of Europe. However, there was one group of people who survived the plague with about 50% less deaths. You know, each year in preparation for Passover, the Jewish people perform a thorough spring cleaning, where their homes are completely cleansed and all items with leaven are removed from their homes. And this thorough spring cleaning and the removal of all the breads and grains from Jewish homes may have protected them from a rat-borne scourge known as Yersinia pestis, the bacterial cause of the plague infamous in medieval Europe as known as the Black Death. And the removal of all the food and shelter for the rats helped to stymie the disease's spread among the Jewish people. Most interestingly, the plague peaked in the spring around the time that Passover would have fallen, when all the Jewish homes had been thoroughly cleansed from top to bottom. Today I want to talk about spring cleaning. But I don't care so much about your houses. I mean, that's your own problem. If your house is a mess, it looks horrible, that's your problem. But I'm talking about spring cleaning today here. We need to be cleaning out the inside, going through a spring cleaning, getting rid of all the leaven, all the yeast, all that puffs up, all that brings sickness and disease and problems in our life. We need to go through a thorough spring cleaning. You know, the children of Israel had been slaves in Egypt for about 400 years. And in answer to their prayers, God sent Moses to Pharaoh with this command, "Let my people go." However, Pharaoh wouldn't listen, and so God sent these 10 terrible plagues upon Egypt and Pharaoh to convince them that it was in their best interest to honor his request. You know, from the time of Moses until the present day, the Jewish people have partaken of the Passover Seder to celebrate their love for God, who freed their ancestors from slavery, who passed over their homes because they obeyed him in putting the blood of that sacrificial lamb upon the door frames of their houses. And God continues to speak to us about going through that spring cleaning. It's been going on for 3,500 years. And God has used it in miraculous ways. But I want each one of you here today to look at the inside of your lives and say, "Lord, I need to be cleaned. I need to be cleansed. There's things in my life that I just don't like. There's things that I'm doing that I shouldn't do. There's things that I'm watching that I shouldn't watch. There's things that I'm reading that I know I shouldn't read. I'm going to movies that, oh Lord, I shouldn't be going there." Maybe we treat our spouses wrong. Husbands yelling at your wives, wives yelling at your husbands and chasing them with frying pans around the house and hitting them over the head. But God wants to look at the inside here, because he wants the inside all cleansed. There once was an emergency medical technician who was working in the emergency room when a father brought in his son. This little boy had poked a tire from one of his toy trucks all the way up his nose, and it was stuck. And this father, he was embarrassed, but the EMT assured him that this was things, you know, kids often do these things. Don't worry about it. So the technician quickly removed the tire, and the father and son were soon on their way. But a few minutes later, the father came back to the emergency room, asking to talk to the EMT in private. And the father entered into the emergency room, or the examining room, when he began. "You know, while I was on the way home, I was looking at that little tire and wondering, how on earth did my son get that little tire all the way stuck up his nose?" And then he went on to explain what the problem was. Fortunately, it only took the technician a few seconds to take it out of the dad's nose also. You know, there are certain things that don't belong up a person's nose. You know, they may fit, but they don't belong there. They might not even cause much pain, but they just don't belong there. There are certain things that don't belong in our bodies as well. There are certain things that don't belong in our minds. And there are certain things that don't belong in our homes. And the Passover symbolized the freedom God wanted to give his people. But that feast was followed by six more days that focused on the fact that God's kind of freedom required his people to remove things from their lives and to remove things from their homes. And during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the children of Israel were instructed not to eat leavened items during that week. They were not to allow anything in their homes that had any yeast in it at all. They were not, and anyone who ate anything that contained yeast during that week were to be cut off from Israel. And yeast was used to symbolize the power of sin. When Israel offered bread to God along with burnt offerings, that bread was not to have any yeast in it. And when Yeshua warned his Talmudim, his disciples, against becoming like the Pharisees, he told them in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And when the congregation in Corinth had a man in their congregation who was engaged in sexual immorality, Rav Shaul, the apostle Paul, wrote that they should not associate with that man until he repented. They were not even to eat with that man. He said if they insisted on looking the other way, that man's sin would taint or fall upon the rest of them. And 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, "Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough?" So as you can see here, yeast was used by God to portray sin in our lives. So why would God use yeast to symbolize sin? You know, a loaf of bread has yeast in it, which makes it rise and it makes the bread puff up. However, matzah has no yeast, and so it's flat. Sin acts the same way in our lives, just like it does in that loaf of bread. Bread with yeast in it tastes good, while matzah is not always that tasty. Although I love it, you know, you could put gefilte fish on it and horseradish on it, or you can put fruit spread on it and butter it sometimes. I like eating it during Passover. But it's really not all that tasty. You have to put schmear stuff all over it to give it any kind of taste. Well, bread hot out of the oven, oh boy, the smell of it, it's just amazing. Isn't it? Oh, it's amazing. And that's why we buy bread. And that's why we eat it. And that's why you don't buy matzah all the time except Passover. It doesn't take much yeast to change the shape of the flour. It warps the shape of the dough. Similarly, when sin enters into an area of our life, it doesn't take much to change who you are. A little bit of yeast, a little bit of sin can really change who you are. It doesn't take much to warp your character at all. Yeast makes the bread look like it contains more flour than it actually does. The larger loaf may not contain any more flour than the matzah itself, but because of the yeast that's in it, it looks like it has a lot more. There was this man working with his dad in the donut shop. They owned a donut shop. And he was rebuked by his father because his donuts were larger than they should have been. And the dad accused his son of using more dough and costing him more money and taking money from his business because his donuts were too big. However, the son replied that he hadn't used any more dough than normal, but instead he let the dough rise longer than normal, and thus the donuts appeared to have more dough in them, but in reality they didn't. But you know, likewise, sin can make us believe that we have more in our lives than we do. Sin, like bitterness and hatred, can make us feel that we have more power than others. Sin, like hypocrisy and bigotry, can make us feel more important than we actually are. Sinning by viewing crude movies or sexually explicit materials can make us believe that we are more mature or more grown up or more responsible. And the sins of getting drunk or getting high can fool us into thinking that we've gained more control over our lives. Sin can make us believe that we've gained more of something in our lives, but in reality, all we gained is more decay and more rot. Because yeast causes bread to mold and decay from the inside out. You know, if you have a loaf of bread out for too long, what happens to it? It gets all moldy, doesn't it? Crackers will last practically forever. You can put out crackers. They don't go moldy. They'll last pretty much forever because they don't have much yeast in them. In the same way, sin has the power to cause our lives and our homes to decay and to rot. That's why God hates sin, because it destroys our lives. So how can we create a home where our families will be safe from the destructive influences of the world all around us? How can we keep the world's influences out of our home? Well, we keep it out the same way we deal with an intruder. We close the door and we lock it. And parents are the gatekeepers of the house, of their homes. You and I are the ones with the keys to the house. And God relies upon us to make sure destructiveness of the world doesn't get through that front door. I shouldn't have to go through a laundry list of types of things we need to keep out of our homes. We all know that there are certain TV shows and certain movies and certain books and certain magazines and games and such that teach us lessons in morality that we don't want our families to learn and be part of. We all know that our kids shouldn't be associating with certain kinds of friends. So we shouldn't be letting those friends into our homes. We all know that if our kids get a hold of alcohol and drugs, it could destroy them. So why would I want those things in my home? Now, I'm not saying you can't have a bottle of wine, and even Rachel, Apostle Paul said, about drinking wine, it's good for you. You know, and studies show that drinking red wine is good for your heart. But it doesn't mean you should drink a gallon of it a day. You know, say, it's for my heart. It's for my heart. You know, anyway. Oh, thank you, Lord. We all know the damage that gambling could also do in our lives. So why would I have anything like that around with my family? And we've got to make up our minds that anything that would hurt our family shouldn't be let in the front door or the back door or through an open window. You know, there was one person that noted children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they've never failed to imitate them. Think about that. They're not good at listening, but they're fantastic at imitating. I'll give you an instance. When kids grow up in a home where both parents are smoking cigarettes like crazy, I grew up in a home, my father and mother probably smoked 3 packs of cigarettes each a day. Terrible. Praise the Lord, I didn't end up smoking. I thought it was disgusting. Although, of course, you know, when I got into high school, I you know, played with a little bit. I got little tipperillos. It was cool back then. Remember those tipperillos with the little tips on them and little cigars with little tips, you know? You're a little high school kid, you're cool walking around with tipperillos. But praise the Lord, I never got into that. Oh. You know, by giving the impression that certain kinds of TV programs or activities or beverages or drugs or behavior is only for grown-ups, children will desire that maturity. Well, only grown-ups can do this. Only grown-ups can drink. Only grown-ups can smoke. So they do it because it makes them feel like they're grown up. We've got to be very careful. And they will pursue the maturity as early in their lives as possible because they desire to be like the grown-ups. The moment we buy into the heresy of this contradiction, that our morality is somehow different than the morality that we expect of them, the lock on the door is broken and the world will walk right on in. That's why God didn't teach his people to remove the leaven only from their children's lives. He taught them to get rid of those things completely out of their homes, out of every room, and out of the lives of everyone in their home. Essentially, that means if it's bad for your kids, it's bad for you. Again, as Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:6, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. All it takes is a simple opening of the door for sin to enter the home, and it will affect the lives of everyone in that home. That's what God is teaching us here today. You know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread was only done once a year. The children of Israel removed the leaven from their homes roughly in the month of April. This year was a little bit earlier in March. Does that sound like something we do? Yes, this was literally a spring cleaning that they went through. Practically everybody does an occasional spring cleaning in their homes. I hope you're doing that anyway. Donnie, you need to clean your garage, brother. Irene's going to do it. Okay. She's volunteering there. Okay. Good. You know, there are things laying around and collecting dirt and dust all over the place in your homes. And so in the spring, you know, we look, we realize, you know, we need to clean house here, don't we? We need to get rid of all that clutter and all that trash that's accumulated throughout the year. It's not that we plan to have all that clutter in our homes, but we begin to notice the mess all around us. And I have to be careful at home because a lot of times I have stacks of papers and magazines, all these things that I want, and Irene thinks I don't need them. And she sometimes helps me to get rid of those things, even if I don't want to get rid of those things. Sometimes they just disappear. And I said, where's my... Uh-oh. She's got it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's the same way with the worldly influences in our lives. Despite our best efforts, some of the world's R-rated thinking and morality, or even X-rated thinking and morality, can slip into our homes very easily. Either by the influences that our kids encounter or by the things we or our spouses bring into our homes. And each year to prepare for Passover, Jewish families spend an entire week scouring the house for any small crumb of yeast that they can find. They do that because God commanded in Exodus 12:19, for 7 days no yeast is to be found in your homes. In other words, they were not just getting rid of the yeast that happened to be lying on the floor. They had to look in every single nook and cranny, every hidden corner of their homes, to find the leaven and to remove it. And that's what we need to do in our homes, and that's what we need to do in our lives. We need to look in every nook and every cranny, every spot in our life to see where the yeast is and remove it from us, because it's puffing us up and filling us with sin. Every once in a while, we need to look at our homes over and ask ourselves, are these things pleasing to God, or are they not pleasing to God? Do these things that I have, do they hinder my walk with God? Do those TV programs I watch undermine my family's health and well-being? Problems in our homes can often come from thinking that just a little trash isn't going to hurt. There's a story of a girl who approached her mother while she was preparing salad. And she asked for permission, casually, she asked for permission to go to an amusement center that had a very bad reputation to it. And when her mom said no, the daughter exclaimed, "Well, all the girls are going to be there." And the mom was silent for a couple of moments and then began to reach into the sink. And she pulled out of the sink some of the wilted salad and some of the, you know, the messy junk from the salad she's cleaning and all the scrapings from the vegetables. And she began to sprinkle them on top of the salad. Astonished, the daughter asked mother what she is doing. What do you think? What are you doing? And the mother replied, "I just thought that if you didn't mind putting garbage in your heart and mind, you wouldn't mind a little garbage in your salad." What I want you to remember from this message is that there are certain false concepts that can undermine our efforts to protect our families from the influences of an R and X-rated world. Two of these we've already covered. The first is the false concept that you, as an adult, can have a different morality than your kids. You can't have a different morality than your kids. Secondly, it's the belief that a little bit of sin won't make any difference to anyone. The last false ideal is that simply removing sinful influences from your home will protect your family. This springs from the concept that freedom comes from removing sin from our lives. Actually, Scripture teaches that freedom comes from God. And we remove sin from our lives because He has shown us mercy. God has shown us mercy. We can't do it on our own. We can't remove sin on our own. The Feast of Unleavened Bread focused on removing the symbol of sinfulness from our homes. But that week-long festival began with a celebration of their freedom from slavery. The Passover meal. In other words, it wasn't the removal of sin from the home that made them free. God had already made them free. Removing sin from their homes was not what made them free. Removing that sinful element was based upon the freedom that God had given them. They removed the sin because God had freed them. God had done a work in their lives. You know, that isn't simply a First Covenant or Old Testament idea. Turn with me to Romans 6. In the previous chapter of Romans, in Romans 5, Rav Shaul explained that God loved us so much, it pleased Him to forgive our sins. So we come to the opening verse in Romans chapter 6. And Rav Shaul, Apostle Paul, basically says, if it pleases God so much to forgive our sins, why don't we really make Him happy and then sin a lot? Right? If it pleases God to forgive our sins, well, let's just really sin a lot and make God much more happier, wouldn't it? What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were immersed into Yeshua the Messiah were immersed into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through immersion into death in order that just as Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For I all know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. You know, Romans 6 is telling us that our freedom came from belonging to Yeshua. That's where our freedom comes from, being in Him. And because we are now new creations in Him, we should no longer engage in the sinful ways or the sinful activities of our past life. You know, too often, listen to this, too often people will say they don't want to become believers until they clean out their lives. You know, spring cleaning. I've got so much more, they say, I'm not ready to live for the Lord. I have so much wrong in my life, so much sin in my life. I'm not ready to become a believer. I have to clean up my life first. That is so crazy. So crazy. They fail to realize that it isn't in removing the yeast of their past sins that will make them acceptable to God. We can only be acceptable to God, only free when we accept Yeshua on His terms and on His terms only. Listen, none of us is ever going to be right. None of you here are ever going to be right with God. We try as hard as we can, but we always sin. You go to speed limit 60 and you're going 61, you're sinning. Even if you don't notice it. You ever have a bad thought about somebody because they hurt you, you're upset with them? You're sinning. I mean, we do it all the time, every day, all of us. None of us is without sin. We can only be free when we accept that free gift of God through Yeshua the Messiah. But it has to be on His terms. And let me tell you what His terms are. Number one, faith in Yeshua as our Lord and Redeemer. That's His terms. Faith in Yeshua as our Lord and Redeemer. Secondly, repentance of our past sins. First, we show the faith. We accept them. Faith in Him as our Lord and Redeemer. Repentance of our past sins. Confession of Yeshua as our Lord and immersion into Messiah Yeshua. We follow His ways, His terms, and then we can truly be free and experience the fullness of life and the joy that He has for each one of us. Then, and only then, is spring cleaning effective and beneficial. I pray that we all begin that process of spring cleaning and remove the leaven from our lives and the leaven from our homes. And let me tell you, this is pleasing to God. And if you do this, I promise you this is going to bring about new life in you, new growth in you. And you will have the power to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to God. So I encourage you all, look at your life, look at the mess, look at the clutter, and let's all go through spring cleaning and clean out all that keeps us from serving a holy God and leading our families in holiness and righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word, O God. We thank you that your word is a light to our path and a lamp unto our feet. Lord, I thank you that only in Yeshua and according to His ways and His terms can we, O God, clean up our lives. We can't do it on our own, Lord. We'll never be ready on our own. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to speak into our lives and show us. In the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you'd speak into every life here today. Where there needs to be growth, where there needs to be change, where there needs to be repentance, where there needs to be confession of sin and Yeshua, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would do this in every life here. I pray, Lord, that you would speak into every one of our lives, be it audibly, in a dream, through a word from someone, through your words, your scriptures, oh God.